The unsurpassed, penetrating, and perfect truth is seldom met with, even in 100,000 myriad kalpas. Now we can see and hear it. We can remember and accept it. I vow to make the Buddha's truth one with myself. Homage to the Buddha, homage to the Dharma, homage to the Sangha. So, I'm going to be talking about meditation, and in particular, let go of the past, let go of the future, let go of the present. And this is one of the sayings of the Buddha from the Dhammapada, and I'll read the whole thing to you, what he says. Let go of the past, let go of the future, let go of the present. With a heart that is free, cross over to that shore which is beyond suffering. Our hearts are free, and we need to do the training that makes it so. And this is a quote from Great Master Dogen's Bendoa. People are already abundantly endowed with the Dharma in every part of their being, but until they do the training, it will not emerge. Now, the reason I chose this topic was because I was recently on retreat at our Compassionate Friend Hermitage for a month, and I was listening to some of Reverend Master Koten's talks on meditation. He did a series of talks at his temple, and this talk helped me a great deal while I was out there, and I'm finding that it continues to help me. And in preparing this talk and going through the last few days, I'm finding it particularly helpful. So maybe you'll understand why after I've talked about it. So in his talk, he quoted from something which is similar to what the Buddha said, but says a little bit more, called the Six Words of Advice. And this was originally in Tibetan, and it actually was six words, but in English it is not. And there are two versions that I found, and I'm going to read both of them side by side. Don't recall, let go of what has passed. Don't imagine, let go of what may come. Don't think, let go of what is happening now. Don't examine. Don't try to figure anything out. Don't control. Don't try to make anything happen. Rest. Relax right now and rest. Rest in the natural great peace. I love that line. To my mind, this teaching is pretty straightforward, and yet it can be very difficult to do. I know for myself, all these things you're supposed to let go of is what goes on in my meditation often. Thinking about the past, worrying about what may happen, trying to figure things out, trying to have something happen in meditation. But actually, in preparing this talk, I'm learning more to just let all those things go and just be in the present. And the present isn't always that pleasant. It can be very difficult. One of the things that Reverend Master Koten said in his talk was, don't bring what is going on with you into the meditation. Bring meditation into what's going on with you. And to me, this is an important point. Don't bring your problems to the meditation and stew on them there. Try and figure them out, try and make them go away, all that kind of thing that we do. Without trying to figure anything out, allow the meditation to help you. So let go of all that stuff as it arises and see what happens. What is going on before we start to meditate may seem like a big problem, may be disturbing or confusing. We may feel fearful, worried, angry, or many other things. Instead of thinking about these things, trying to figure them out, I'd already said that. not holding on to them, let's see. Just be with what is there right now, not holding on to it and not pushing it away. You never know what will happen in your meditation when you do this. As we all probably know, sometimes it is very difficult to just be with what is arising. Ajahn Sumedho, who some of you may be familiar with, a Theravadan monk, said in his book, Don't Take Your Life Personally, that if it is there, if it's arising, it belongs, which I find very helpful, although I don't always remember it. And I want to read you something he says in this book, Don't Take Your Life Personally, a couple of paragraphs, which I hope helps with this point. Awareness doesn't have preferences. So the nasty stuff belongs just as much as the saintly. When it gets into picking and choosing, I don't want the nasty stuff, I want the good stuff. And he says, I can't trust that anymore because I know the result is not liberating. Even calling something nasty, even labeling it or saying anything about it makes it more than it is. The fact is, it is what it is. So feeling really grumpy and resentful is. You don't even go that far anymore. It just is what it is. This feeling is like this. And if there is no movement towards adding anything to it, if you have patience with it, it naturally ceases. I use this word patience a lot because resistance, that wanting to get rid of something because I don't like it, wanting to get rid of it right now, is very impatient. I have learned to accept and receive uncomfortable, unwanted feelings. I have learned to let them be what they are. If I think about them, they become complicated. Just being aware of this present mood or this energy is enough. By resting here and allowing negative states a right to be, by seeing them for what they are, one realizes they don't have any solidity to them. They don't have any core or essence even. Then one sees them to be just like mist, just empty. Wish I could remember that all the time. And I'm going to give you a few examples. When I was a young monk many years ago, I remember clearly one evening that I was feeling a lot of despair, hopelessness. What's the point of going to meditate? But I went anyway because I had to. You know, you couldn't just decide not to go to meditation as a monk. So it was interesting because at the end of the meditation, all these feelings had gone, and there was a brightness there instead. And I would like to say that this doesn't generally happen. But it happened then, and it's interesting how certain memories just stick with you, and other things I never remember, but that really stuck with me. So I listened to Reverend Master's talk when I was out at the Hermitage. And before listening to the talk, and I would like to say that when I'm out at the Hermitage by myself for a month, a lot of things come up more strongly. So I had been struggling with my greed for food, that it arises for me in many different ways. I think it was strong that day, and I just had to allow it to be there and look at it over and over again as it arose. Now, I was being very impatient because I just wanted it to go, but it kept rising and arising and arising. And I thought I wasn't doing very well with it because it didn't go. But now that I think of it, I was just being really impatient. But I was judging myself harshly, as I tend to do sometimes. I listened to his talk, which I found very helpful, and then I went to meditate. I took his words to heart. Let go of the past, let go of the future, or I should say the Buddha's words, let go of the present. And instead of going on in my mind about the problem I was having and trying to solve it, which I normally would have done, I let go of everything that arose, allowed myself to just be and rested in the meditation. And it was a peaceful meditation. And I remember thinking, this is what is real, not everything that is going on in my head. And I do have to admit that after the meditation, the greed came back, but it was something I need to work on. And so it was there, and I needed to train with it. And I found it very interesting, for me anyway, how strongly greed or anger or delusion can arise and at times and really have this intensity and grab us. And then for me, when it goes, I couldn't care less about that which I wanted. So I find this very interesting, that if you persevere, that greed will let go, and you'll see that there's something much more important. And also, sometimes anger arises very strongly for me, and I just have to be with it as well. And whatever is arising is okay and belongs. And in thinking about this, I think that some of us, or at least in my case, have greed, anger, and or delusion arise very strongly at times because perhaps in the past we've given into them in a big way. And I saw a little glimpse of this when I was out there. And when they arise now, we have the opportunity to just be with them, no matter how uncomfortable they are, and not continuing the suffering. And of course, the non-judgmental mind and compassion fit in very well here. Reverend Master Jiyu talked about meditation in a similar way, and I tried to find the source of this because she said it very beautifully, and I couldn't, so I'm just going to say what I remember. It's basically, during meditation, just meditate. Again, don't try and figure things out. Allow the meditation to help you to deepen your faith, to open your heart. Don't try and fix anything, change anything, or understand anything. Don't try to figure out or plan the future. So this is meditation. It can allow it to really help us, allow ourselves to rest in it, benefit from it. And then when the future comes, we'll have more of a sense of what to do. We don't know really what to do now and what will happen in the future. I think it's just that we really... Well, I'm saying we, but I know I know what do I know? I can't remember what I know. I was trying to find something else, and I forgot what I knew. Maybe I put it here. No, I can't remember where I put it. Okay. If you can just sit, let go of and rest there in the meditation. Let go and rest there in the meditation. You can come to know what is deeper, what is real. And this knowing helps you with your daily life and what comes next. And of course, meditation goes hand in hand with the keeping of the precepts and mindfulness in daily life. Another aspect of this is... I'll come back to that later. And in preparing this talk, what came to me was two verses from one of the invocations that we sing, Sweet Time of Meditation. I think this kind of illustrates the point I'm trying to make. Sweet time of meditation, the quiet time of peace, when from life's care and turmoil I find a blessed release. In silent contemplation, new faith and hope I win, more light and deeper knowledge, more strength to conquer sin. I'm just going to cry with that. But allow the meditation to help you. When we try and plan or figure out the future, I think it's... we want things to turn out a certain way. We want to control what will happen in our lives so that we feel secure. I know for myself I do. And when you don't do that, when you let go of that, you come to know the uncertainty of life. And that's the reality of life, is that it is uncertain. It is uncertain. For me, when I'm able to let go, I see that uncertainty. When I know what is real, when I have faith in that, the uncertainty is not a problem. It's okay. I have seen this and know this from time to time. Within the uncertainty, there is always the unborn and the help that we need. And there is that which goes beyond birth and death and what happens in our daily life. And I remember a talk that Reverend Master Khotan gave to our lay congregation many, many years ago. And this will date it because Reverend Amanda was a lay person there. And I remember that talk very clearly. He let me sit in on it. He used the analogy of trying to build a house, a safe place on a rushing river. It is just a matter of time before the house falls apart. You can't build a house, basically, on a rushing river. But when it falls apart, we try and build another house, and on and on and on, until we just let go and live with the uncertainty. Another thing I found sometimes when I let go in my meditation was I didn't feel the peace or the clarity or quietness or whatever I've been describing sometimes happens, but just a sense of the unknown, which can be scary. And I knew that I just had to rest in the unknown. No matter what would happen, no matter what came, I knew I couldn't grab on to what was familiar anymore. Although the mind tries to, it just isn't good enough. It isn't good enough. And to describe this, Reverend Master used to tell us this lovely story, and I'm sure some of you have heard this, about a judge in Nazi Germany during World War II. And he was a very compassionate judge, and he had, I think he had war criminals that he was trying, and he gave them a choice. Basically, there was going to be no real justice there. Basically, they were going to go to a firing squad. But he gave them a choice. He felt he could do this. He said, there are two doors. And the one door is the known. I don't think he put it that way. But the one door is the known. It is sure death at a firing squad. The other door is the unknown, and I will not tell you what's behind that door. And he and Reverend Master Jiyu compared this to Zen training. Letting go of the known and sitting with the unknown. And as it turned out, every single one of them chose the known, sure death by firing squad. And the unknown was a car filled with gas waiting to take them to freedom. So I love this analogy because it's the unknown takes us to freedom if we do our practice, whereas the known continues the suffering on and on and on. I wish I could remember this always. Now I'd like to go back to greed, anger, and delusion. And of course, meditation can help us with these. Sometimes I find something deeper, quieter, and real in my meditation. And when I do this, when this happens, the greed for food loses its importance. It loses its punch. And this is also true for anger and delusion. I see the importance of just being with them and not giving in to them. And as I mentioned earlier, sometimes they are very strong and the pull is strong. I want this, I don't want that. And I'd like to say that this is normal. We're never going to be perfect. We'll always be human beings with our difficulties and shortcomings. And yet we make the effort to do better. Because what is real is so much more important than the passing thought or feeling. At times we know this, and at times we don't think we do. At these times, all we can do is trust and go on. In Rules for Meditation, Great Master Dogen says, cut all ties, give up everything. Think of neither good nor evil. Consider neither right nor wrong. And I heard a talk recently in which the monk said that this was pertaining to the meditation itself. And I went, phew, I don't have to do this in all of my daily life, which sometimes seems really impossible or very difficult. It is possible, I hope. And yet by doing this in the meditation, we are gradually able to do this in many, if not all, aspects of our daily lives. This is what is being talked about in Sweet Time of Meditation. This is what leads to the cessation of suffering. This is the crossing over to that other shore which is beyond suffering. It's letting go of our attachments, letting go of our thoughts and feelings. It's not that we don't, you know, have our relationships and our friends and those we love and look and take care of. It's just that we let go of our attachments and we let go of our thoughts and feelings as they arise. And I'd like to read something that the Buddha said, because I think it's nice. This is what I'm saying. When we let go of our defilements, greed, anger, and delusion, then the radiance of the unborn can shine through us. So this is what the Buddha said. Bhikkhus, this mind is radiant, but it doesn't show its radiance because passing defilements come and obscure it. The unwise, ordinary person does not understand this as it is. Therefore, there is no mind development in the unwise, ordinary person. Bhikkhus, the mind is radiant. It shows its radiance when it is unobscured by passing defilements. The wise, noble disciple and the wise, noble layperson understands this as it is. Therefore, there is mind development in the wise, noble disciple or layperson. That's the talk. So thank you.